I just about decided I was reading too much into his usual quietness when Skip said, "What's eating you?" There was a kind of rough concern in his voice. Nate's lower lip trembled and then firmed at the sound of it. He leaned over the neat surface of his desk, my own was already covered in about 19 layers of junk, and snagged a Kleenex from the box he kept by his record player. He blew his nose long and hard. When he was finished, he was under control again, but I could see the baffled unhappiness in his eyes. Part of me, a mean part, was glad to see it. Glad to know that you didn't have to turn into a hearts junkie to have problems. Human nature can be so shitty sometimes. I rode up with Stoke and Harry Swidrowski and a few other guys, Nate said. Was Carol with you, I asked. Nate shook his head. I think she was with George Gilman's bunch. There were 5 carloads of us in all. I didn't know George Gilman from Adam, but that did not prevent me from directing a dart of fairly sick jealousy at him. Harry and Stoke are on the Committee of Resistance. Gilman, too. Anyway, we... Committee of Resistance? Skip asked. What's that? A club, Nate said and sighed. They think it's something more, especially Harry and George. They're real firebrands. But it's just another club, really, like the Main Mask or the Pep Squad. Nate said he himself had gone along because it was a Tuesday and he didn't have any classes on Tuesday afternoons. No one gave orders. No one passed around loyalty oaths or even sign-up sheets. There was no real pressure to march and none of the paramilitary beret-wearing fervor that crept into the anti-war movement later on. Carol and the kids with her had been laughing and bopping each other with their signs when they left the gym parking lot, according to Nate. Laughing. Laughing with George Gilman. I threw another of those germ-laden jealousy darts. When they got to the federal building, some people demonstrated, marching around in circles in front of the Selective Service office door, and some people didn't. Nate was one of those who didn't. As he told us that, his usually smooth face tightened in another brief cramp of something that might have been real misery in a less settled boy. I meant to march with them, he said. All the way up, I expected to march with them. It was exciting. 6 of us crammed into Harry Swidrowski's Saab. A real trip. Hunter McPhail. Do you guys know him? Skip and I shook our heads. I think both of us were a little awestruck to discover the owner of Meet Trini Lopez and Diane Renee Sings Navy Blue had what amounted to a secret life, including connections to the sort of people who attracted both cops and newspaper coverage. He and George Gilman started the committee. Anyway, Hunter was holding Stokes' crutches out the window of the Saab because we couldn't fit them inside, and we sang, "I Ain't Marching Anymore," and talked about how maybe we could really stop the war if enough of us got together. That is, all of us talked about stuff like that except Stoke. He keeps pretty quiet.